reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding today. Well, you may be wondering about the sermon title. I like to mix things up occasionally and make you curious. There is nothing in the scripture that says snakes explode, just so we're clear on that. This is something you'll have to listen very carefully to hear in the sermon today. I've already talked to a few of you that don't mind the fact that the snake is exploding at all. So I know there's some of you that don't care for snakes. Well, I suppose of the various contributors to the Bible, the Apostle Paul would be uniquely qualified to discuss suffering. I mean, after all, given his history as a Pharisee, he inflicted suffering on a lot of people. And then after his conversion on the road to Damascus, he became Paul. And as a result of his faith and his aggressiveness in sharing that faith, he ended up experiencing pain for a large part of his life. Well, the scripture verses in Romans 5 talk a little bit about this idea of suffering and how it relates to our faith. Verse 1 starts with the word therefore, which, as I've mentioned before, means that we should go back and read before so we know what therefore is all about. In this case, Paul has just explained that the whole world is in a sinful condition and guilty before God, and that no one can be saved from that guilt by performing good works or religious deeds. In this case, he's speaking to a Jewish audience about their inability to find salvation by keeping a strict set of laws known as the Levitical law. If you want to know what that is, go and pick out the book of Leviticus. That's one of the first five books in our Bibles. He explains that it is by God's grace, through faith, that we are saved, and not because we adhere to a law or by anything that we do. So with this in mind, then, these first few verses in Romans make a bit more sense. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We have been justified. All that means is that we have been reconciled in such a way that we are acceptable in the eyes of God. And the only reason that we are is because of Jesus, who came and died on the cross and sent the Holy Spirit, through which we get to experience God's unending grace and love for us. Because of that, our entire lives are transformed. We become people of spirit instead of people of flesh. And because of this, we have hope, and the scripture says we can boast in that hope. Well, typically, boasting is not a virtue that we would aspire to. Paul even has some verses before this one where he criticizes those who boast. But here, the boasting Paul speaks of is anticipatory. We are boasting in our hope of things to come based on God's grace. It's not on something that we've done or because we're proud of our own achievements. So in this case, to boast is to proclaim our hope that others can also share in that hope. And then we come to some very thought-provoking verses, beginning in verse 3. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Boasting in our sufferings. Really? How many of us go around bragging about how much we suffer? Don't answer that. Why would Paul think that we would want to brag about our suffering? But it's right there in black and white. We also boast in our sufferings, Paul said. And then he goes on to proclaim that because suffering leads to something else, something we desire in our lives. And I believe that that something is a maturing and a strengthening of our faith. Have you ever been through something significant in your life and wondered if you were going to make it? I'm sure you have, because I know a number of your stories. It could be one of the several things. It could be the loss of someone you love, unexpectedly or even expecting, an illness or a chronic disease, a separation or a divorce, any one of these things. And you come through that, and you often wonder how you made it. But you know afterwards that you have endured, you have survived. And that provides us with more confidence, not so much in ourselves, but in the one who was and is faithful to us. We are then able to function once more and find joy on occasion. Perhaps we're a little less fearful of what life will bring. And then as we go forward, we know that the path before us will inevitably lead to even more suffering and hardship, unfortunately. Now, I don't mean to be a downer, but I can't help it, can I? I don't usually use my name as a verb, but a lot of people do. I believe that God is good. I believe that God is incapable of evil. But unfortunately, evil has found its place in this world. And I used to think it was because God blessed us with free will, the ability to choose and make decisions, to think and act as we please. But Reverend Russ Sauerwein challenged me with a question one day. He said, have you ever stopped to consider that the snake was already in the Garden of Eden? The snake is often seen as a metaphor for evil. So who put the snake in the garden? Who allowed the snake to even be there? Was it God? Well, this confounded me mightily, and I don't have a good answer for you. I still think that our free will plays a part in how evil is perpetrated in our lives. For instance, we can choose to love and honor God, both in our lives and in our family lives, or we can choose not to. And that leads to a lot of heartache, as we often find out. Sometimes people choose to honor themselves or other people or even material things. And our choices carry consequences, of course, and our poor choices can snowball into evil in many forms. But just so we don't think that it's only our fault, humanity's fault, that brings evil, Scripture is clear that evil exists in other ways. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For your struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Well, regardless of how evil originated, suffering is a part of our human condition. And if there is one thing we can all be sure of, at some point we will suffer, some more than others. But together we are born, we live, and we die in a world where evil and suffering exist. But I think the message that Paul wants to share with us through the Scriptures today is that we do not have to succumb to that evil. And this, I think, is a wonderful message. So what is the purpose, if there is a purpose? It's through suffering that we learn to endure, according to Paul's words, to grow stronger in our faith, to find within us a spirit of hope that comes only through trust in our Lord. And it's here that I want to ask you to perhaps look at our second reading from the Gospel of John, where Jesus tells his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." It's my belief that through the experiences of our lives, through the joys and through the struggles, through the pain and suffering, we grow in our understanding and our ability to comprehend what God has to say to us. At certain points in our lives, we're not able to understand what God is saying. Only by seeing and experiencing some of the hardships we face do those things become clear to us. One of my favorite quotes is, "I was the perfect parent, and then I had children." That's a good Father's Day line for you there. You see, experience gives us perspective. I don't care how strongly you feel about just about any topic, perspective can change the way you feel about things. It's one of the reasons we read the Bible all our lives and continue to find fresh understanding. As we experience the events of life, the Holy Spirit reveals more to us. But the issue then becomes, are we willing to invest in that? Will we take the time to seek God in our daily existence, to read and study and apply ourselves through prayer and worship? And then, will we listen for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to new possibilities, to newer and deeper understandings of our faith, and to the implication of Jesus' revelation for us today? Not 2,000 years ago, today. Can we, like John, trust the Spirit to guide us in discerning what it means to live out our Christian faith walk? Well, understanding doesn't come all at once. At least we had better hope it doesn't. This week I read the story of a pastor, and he told this story to convey this little bit of wisdom. His name was Reverend Barry Howard, and he said that shortly after moving to Florida, he read about a Burmese python. Now, a Burmese python is a nasty-looking snake. They grow really big. They had a special on Discovery Channel last night about them. They're an invasive species, and they're in the Everglades now in a big way. And there are people that go out and hunt them. But he read this one story about this Burmese python in the Everglades that tried to swallow whole a 6-foot alligator. And he was explaining this picture that he had seen. He said, the picture revealed that the python attempted to swallow the gator, and the python exploded. Literally, he bit off more than it could chew. So apparently, swallowing a full-grown gator was even too much for a python. Well, Reverend Howard shared this image and how it has served as a parable for him as he grapples with some of the perplexing messages in the Bible, the idea of Trinity, or the idea of suffering and pain in life, and the purpose it may serve or the purpose it may not serve. All of these things are difficult for us to understand. Yes, while some things may be simple and easy, others are deep and rich in mystery. They require wisdom and discernment that comes only through our ongoing daily walk. One of the pervasive mottos of the United Church of Christ is, God is still speaking. And I love that motto. You may see some car stickers to that effect, and it's really just a circle, a white circle with a red comma. Have you seen those? And the implication is that we should not place a period where God has only put a comma. Well, many people think that the UCC developed this statement as a part of a marketing campaign in 2004, but that's not the case. Let me tell you where it originated. The phrase was coined by a lady named Grace Ethel Cecile Rosalie Allen. Have you all heard of her? No? I bet you have. She was born, it's thought, she was born 26 July 1895. She never would confirm, though, what year she was born. And she passed away on August 27, 1964. Grace Allen, or Gracie, as her husband would call her, was an American comedian, actress, singer, and dancer, and was the wife and partner to Mr. George Burns. Now you know who Gracie is, right? Well, Gracie Allen died decades before George passed on, of course, and the story goes that after her death, George went to sort out some of her papers, and on top of everything in her desk, he found an envelope addressed to him. And when he opened it, the note said this: "George, never place a period where God places a comma." So that's where that originated from. Well, whether we agree that God's word is living and active in our lives is really something we have to decide for ourselves. But I am amazed that the longer I live, the more I see and experience, even the suffering, the more I read and study, and then the more I try to find God speaking to me in different ways, the more I see and feel the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. God is working in each of you right now, this morning, where you sit. You may have other things on your mind, things that you're going through right now that are difficult. But God will reveal himself through those things, perhaps in a different way from you ever thought imaginable. And it'll be in a way that we can understand and appreciate. You see, God's word never grows old. It never ends. Our understanding of it is constantly changing in this life. God's love for us is boundless. And all we need to do is to watch and listen and seek the mind of Christ to experience the richness of what life has to offer to those who walk in faith. Amen.